You're listening to a feed of the Association of Music Podcasting at musicpodcasting.org.
G'day, I'm Eric, and welcome to episode number 147 of Eric FM. Eric FM, of course, is my music podcast coming to you from Sydney, Australia. And it's Tuesday, so we have an interview. And today we're coming to you partly from Australia and partly from Sweden, where we're going to talk to some of the members of the band Dandelion. And on the line, we have a couple of members of Dandelion. Hello, Karen. How are you?
Hello. Hi. I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing well. Would you like to introduce yourself and the person sitting next to you?
Yes, I'd love to. My name is Karin Dietrichsson, and I'm the band leader in the band former Dandelion. I have to tell you that we've changed the band name, and I didn't have the time to talk about that before, but now we're Vildirheart, which means wild heart, like that. Vildir is an old version of wild in Swedish, and it's heart. So Dandelion was our old name, and we changed it recently because we had to. We found out that we had to. So now we're Vildirheart, and yes, we're happy to be talk to you for a while. And this is beside me here. It's Fredrik, who is the bass player of the band, and my son.
Hello, how are Hello. You?
I'm good.
And so how long have you been playing bass for?
I've been playing bass since junior high, so I guess it's 5 years, something like that. I took lessons first for a couple of years. But now I just play in the band. So, yeah, I've been playing for quite a long time.
So what came first, setting up of the band or you learning to play the bass? Was the aim to play in the band? Was the band established by then?
No, I really didn't suspect this happening, being in a band with my mom. That's I didn't know that. I started taking lessons and played for a couple of years, actually. I didn't really play in a band. We had a little band, but didn't do so much with that. But then I joined my mom's band. So yeah, that's great.
So it's pretty cool joining your mom's band.
Yeah, sure. I like it. No problem.
So Karen, what made you decide to have your son as part of the band? Was that just easier?
Yeah, it was actually that we had a gig at Kungsträdgården in the central park in Stockholm, and I needed a bass player, and I started to think maybe I could ask Fredrik, maybe he's good enough now, and Maya as well, my daughter, she's here, and she's the singer of the band, and she's doing backing vocals, and I thought that okay, I'll try this for one performance and see how it works out together with the other band members, and it was good, so it stayed.
I didn't know it was a test.
Apparently. Yeah. So how long has the band been together? How long has, as formerly Dandelion, how long has the band been together?
Since 2009, I think. Yeah. Before that, I used to perform on my own or with a guitar player, more small constellations. But I always wanted to have a real band. So it's a dream coming true, actually.
So, Karen, what do you do in the band? I know you sort of oversee everything and you know, you send me emails backwards and forwards to tell me what's going on. What do you do apart from that? Do you sing? Do you play an instrument?
Yeah, I play keyboard.
And
I have the lead singing part mostly, but we alternate the singing parts. So sometimes it's Maya having the leading vocals and me doing backing vocals. So kind of switch.
Yeah.
So you're writing all the songs too?
Yeah, well. I write all the songs, the lyrics and the music.
Awesome. So how long have you been singing and playing the keyboards? I gather the keyboards came later?
I think I started when I was 9 or something, playing the keyboard. First, I wanted to do that, but we had no piano at home. Then we got our my grandparents' piano, and I started playing, and my dad taught me from the start. And then a couple of years later, I tried to write songs, but I didn't know how the chords were connected. But then I found out, and yeah.
Cool. So why don't you introduce your daughter who's sitting next to you?
Hi.
What's your name?
I'm Maya.
Hi, Maya. How long have you been singing for?
Well, since forever. I don't know. I think I might started singing, like getting to know my own voice and stuff, a couple of years ago. Just when I started singing in and playing, you know.
We went to choir when we were
young. Yeah, we went to choir school.
We sung for a long time.
But it's a really different different thing to sing in a choir and, you know, sing in a band.
So, how did you join the band? Did your mum say, "Come along," you know? Is that how it happened?
Well, I don't know really. I guess she suddenly understood how good singer I am.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You started at the same time that I started.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And it was like a one-time thing from the start, and then it just went really good. Yeah.
So for the three of you, it must be really handy because you know each other apart from being on stage. And so you must have a really good friendship, and that would go on stage as well, how you get together on stage.
Yeah, you know, it's really easy when we practice and stuff, and we can always, you know, have a good conversation about what we think about, you know, the songs or the arrangements and stuff.
And sometimes they maybe get tired of me because when we are sitting on the table eating, having dinner or something, I start talking about something concerning the song, saying to Maya, maybe you should take the leading part. And they say, "Oh, please, can we eat now? Can we stop talking for the moment about the band and the performance?" And yeah, and say, "Okay, it's okay." So that's good that they can say that.
We can sort of put her to the ground, like she's a little up in the music, which is mostly a good thing, but you know.
It's great.
Karen, do you remember how you even found me in the first place?
That was on the internet, of course. Maybe on MySpace. I don't remember, actually. Maybe it was someone else that had songs on your radio played. I don't remember. And then I... then we get in contact. Yeah.
So, what's the live music scene like where are you in Sweden? Let's talk a little bit about that. Where are you?
Well, it's in Haninge. It's a suburb outside Stockholm.
It's 20 kilometers south of Stockholm. So it's close to the sea. We have the archipelago here and mixed with the blocks and this typical suburban area. So
yeah, this particular place where we live, it's pretty grey and, you know, concrete and stuff.
So we're recording this interview just before Easter. What's the weather like at the moment? You're just coming out of winter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but it's really sunny now, so we're hoping it will stay this way to the summer. A month ago, maybe, there was snow, but now it all went away.
It's about 13 degrees Celsius, so it's really nice. It starts to become green outside and flowers, and yeah, we have had a really, really cold, very long, dark winter, so we're really... Everybody gets happy and coming out. All Swedish people, when the sun
comes out,
kind of returns in the spring, we come out and take our coffee outside, and everybody start talking to each other and smiling. And
yeah, because the winter's like one long depression.
Yeah,
it's just people, black, and you just
people hide in their places, and it's really bad. So,
I guess it's a. It has influenced our music a lot.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, this dark and cold.
Sometimes you hear people talk about the Nordic melancholic vibe, and maybe it's because of that. I don't know.
So you can definitely spend a lot of time inside practicing your music and writing your songs and all of that sort of stuff. Even if you can't go anywhere. I suppose that... If you had to go to work or school, you would, but apart from that, you really wouldn't go out for entertainment or anything like that in the winter, I take it.
It's so boring when you try to think of things to do. It's just, do you want to watch a movie again? Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah.
Or we could just go to sleep, I don't know.
Yeah.
You can never go out, so that's a little boring. But now it's summer, so...
Yeah, it's great.
And so for you, the summer period is the main time where you can go out and perform and that sort of stuff, because I presume that it would be very difficult with your musical gear and everything like that in winter. The winters here in Australia aren't as bad. Like, we don't get a lot of snow, and it's not as cold as where you are, so it's easier for us compared to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's a lot of festivals and open air concerts during summertime in Sweden.
Yeah, because it's like light the most part of the
sun is always up, so
basically. Yeah, in the night too. So
it's only dark for a couple of hours.
Yeah, or so. You know, 1 or 2 hours, and you just stay outside. You have a good time in the summer.
Which sounds really good, because I'm actually planning to come over to Europe in a couple of months. So I think I picked a really good time of year.
Yeah, you told me. Where are you going in Europe?
I'm basically going to be spending a couple of months over there, so I'll be everywhere.
You should come to Stockholm then.
Yeah.
That sounds good. You can show me around. That sounds really good.
Sure. Just give us a call. Yeah.
You can come see us play too.
Yeah,
hey, that sounds really good. I'll definitely be in that. I'll let you know when I arrive.
Yeah.
So you were saying that the dark winter really influences your songwriting.
Yeah,
I think so. Maybe not.
I don't think we think about it, but when you when I listen to the recordings we have done, and really feel like it's sort of melancholic, and it's about loneliness and.
But not all songs, but.
No, but it's like you turn it, all this dark stuff. You turn it into something beautiful.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Hopefully, other people think so too.
Yeah.
So, what comes first for you guys? Does the words come first, or does the music come first?
Most of the time, it's a process that are. It's first of all, it used to start with a vibe, a feeling that you want to, something that you want to tell about. For example, some things I've been thinking of for years, writing about, but then you feel that the moment kind of it comes to you and you start writing, and then it's a mix of it. Often it's the music and the lyrics at the same time, and then you have to work on it to complete it and fix things like interludes or...
So it's like fragments.
Yeah.
And then we help with the arrangements.
Yeah, we do the arrangements together.
The vocals, you know, the...
Yeah, the harmonies. And
the harmonies, yeah.
For example, it was a thing that I've been thinking of for a long time, that was about the starlight. When we see the stars, it's not in the same moment as they've been
born.
Exactly, the light has gone so far, many light years. So it started to shine light years ago. And I can't explain it so good, but I think you get it. And I wanted to write about that because I thought that was a lovely picture. And now I got it into a song that's on our debut album. And that was a real good feeling when you have something in your heart that you think of, that you would love to write about. But you it's kind of, in a way, it's when it's like being pregnant with an idea and it grows and then it's time for it to come, like a baby, actually.
So...
Do you see this? Can you see her? This is our little kitten. Can you see her?
I can see the kitten.
She's on the interview now. Yeah. Want to say something?
She's in the band too.
Yeah.
A band needs to have a cat.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to ask the normal question that I ask about songwriting. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, you're asleep, and you have a really good idea. What do you do?
I usually have a notebook and a pencil beside my bed. And if I can't get asleep again, I write it down. And then I leave it and maybe pick it up later on. And it depends on which period you're in. If you're in a creative period when you're writing a lot on new songs, it can be really hard to get some sleep because you're in a, what is that, euphoric mood or something. So when the song is finished, I try to kind of... leave it and give myself some rest. But then ideas start coming again, and it's maybe it's kind of a lifestyle.
So for each of you, what is your favorite song that you play?
I think Coming Up is good, but it depends on what kind of song you want. But I really like the sound that we got with the chords and bass and the drums, and it's really just a good pop song, I think. So that would be the one.
And it's one of our few up-tempo songs.
Yeah, Maya. Your turn.
Me? Oh, that is hard to say about your own songs. It's really hard. They have a special... They're all different. And actually, the thing with Coming Up is that I really wanted to write a four-chord song, a song with just four chords going around the whole song through. And I thought that that is hard to do that and make it really, really good. That people shouldn't feel, oh, now it's the same chords for 4 minutes. But you don't hopefully you don't get it and you just like the song. So I am really content with that I could do that. So that is good.
Yeah, I think right now I'm really, I'm pretty proud of the song called The Core. It started out with some lyrics that I had written down, and Momsha was like, this could really be something, and I was like, no, it's just, you know. And then it kind of turned out like a really, you know, song, and I did like some harmonies in it, and I just love the way it turned out with the harmonies in the recording, and I can just sit and listen to that song as if it was somebody else's, and I would still, you know, get that feeling from it.
And the thing with that song was that I had my plan was to not write something new at the moment, because we are in a finishing process with a debut album, and I was kind of trying to hold myself back. But then I saw this little poem at the piano, and then I liked it, and I put it on the fridge, and I saw it every time when I was in the kitchen, and I felt that now I can't help myself starting writing on that song. So Maya and I did the lyrics together for the half of the song. And then it came very, very, very quickly, and I showed it to Daniel, the producer, and he said, "Awesome, let's do this." And he liked it, and he added the guitar tracks, and that is really fascinating.
We worked really, really hard on it for like one night. We were recording the harmonies and
the vocals.
Yeah, the vocals. Yeah, and we were really tired. It was like freezing outside. Yeah. We're going home, and then it just, when you listen to it, it's like, it's can be really hard, you know, with the cold winter and everything, but it always grows something good out of it.
Yeah, and when we came out from the studio, it was in the middle of the night, and it had started snowing. It was the 1st of April. It started snowing again, snowing, and we, we were so tired, so it was a special moment, and
Well, that's kind of interesting. When you try not to think of something, then you come up the answers, really. Because if you have a problem and you're just watching TV or something, you can just a thought pops up in your head, and I think that's good, not trying to write. Mm-hmm. Then maybe it just the flow just comes.
Exactly.
Do you all enjoy being in the studio? What does being in the studio mean for you, for each of you?
Well, I love being in the studio because, you know, I don't know, it's really fun. And our recorder, you know, Daniel Chan, he's funny, and he's like putting up with you if you are singing the wrong lyrics. Or yeah, you can just...
Can you relax?
I'm singing. I love singing, so... It's awesome.
Yeah, well, I think for the most part it's really nice, but if you're not really prepared, then you can be a little nervous, but then you work it out anyway.
It's good Daniel is so nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
He's not hard on us.
No, exactly. But sometimes, it's...
Maybe he should be.
Yeah, we could ask him as well, but... And sometimes it's extremely exciting and fun. We always have a good time, and as you said, he's so easygoing. It's really good to be together and hang out in the studio. But sometimes, for me as a songwriter, I get really, really frustrated. And for example, one of the songs, I had problems with the melody line, and I was really frustrated. We went home, and I said, almost quiet for all the way home in the car, because I was so frustrated about the song, and I felt I started thinking of we should take it away. We shouldn't have it on the album. It's something that is not good with it, and I was really worried. Then we found out to change some of the vocal parts, to let Maya do some of the parts, And then that
and it
song
became awesome.
Yeah. That song is, I mean, people, it had really already hit people. So it's interesting how when you feel that it's really, you know, you're out of ideas and you feel really.
But she can be a nerve wreck.
Yeah. And I doubt everything. To try to get the best out of it. So sometimes I say, oh, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to do this. And sometimes, yeah, I say to Daniel, choose, make a choice. What do you think? And some of all his ideas have been really good input. And yeah, it's been really exciting to be in the process. So now we're in this process of finishing it, and we'll see how it will work out and when everything is ready and how people will react to it. So that is the next step for us.
How long have you been working on the album for?
For a year. Yeah. Over a year. Yeah, it was in March 2010 we started. Yeah.
But we've also been recording other songs that
other songs as
well. So we haven't been working that intense with just the album. It's been a slower process with periods.
It was more of a thing like, let's try recording a few songs from the beginning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then it was like, oh, this is going so good, so we had to make an album.
Yeah, exactly. And Daniel is very busy with his band, You Ate My Dog, which are also from Haninge here in where we stay, and we're recording in their studio. So, for example, at the moment he's on tour in Germany. So we have these periods when we don't have the time to be there, but then we have been working on practicing vocals, and it has been really good. I think it's been a good thing to have this long period, actually. Not just record for 5 days and do an album like this. When people say that, I don't think it's not the way that I want to do it.
Are you planning for it to come out on CD as well as a digital download?
Yeah, it's going to be CDs that we can take, bring with us to gigs and sell to people. We like the thing with having a little booklet and the lyrics.
We're working on the you know, the sign on it, and it's fun.
Maya is good at that part, so we'll do it ourselves.
I think you'll get really excited when everything's done, and you have the CD there. I know from writing a book, you will have it there, and you'll just keep looking at it.
Great.
Yeah, sure.
So how does being in the studio compare to actually performing live in front of a crowd? How does that compare for each of you?
Well, yeah, it's a total different thing.
Yeah.
You know, in front of a crowd, it's like I really just think of, you know, I just... I don't know, get that emotion out and get that, impression that people should have of the songs. And but when you're in the studio, it's more like, oh, I really need to get this right now.
Yeah, it's a little more technical. So, so that it's perfect singing and perfect bass and or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find yourselves, do you have any special preparation that you do for a live performance, or any superstitions, like if you got lucky shoes or anything?
Do you have that?
No, I don't think so. I'm not really worried about that stuff. So I'm just, you know, having fun and maybe get a little nervous just before we go up on stage. But I'm not worrying about it, so I don't need any lucky shoes.
Okay. What about you?
No, I can't think of anything really, but try to relax and think about parts that you know you're going to play wrong. So maybe you can improve. So that's basically it, and then just try to relax.
Actually, for me, I used to try to get some time on my own, maybe not right before the performance, but maybe a couple of hours before. But it's the best thing for me is to have some minutes for myself right before we get up on stage. And I have a lucky ring. It's a ring from my grandfather that he got when he finished his graduated from a technical university, and I became an engineer. What is that?
Engineer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he was really proud of that, and he got everybody gets a ring, and I got it from him, and it's kind of I used to hold it in my hand or have it in my pocket or have a little lonesome.
Well, you know, she's a nerve wreck the whole day before we're gonna perform. She's like, you know, struggling eating and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
It's we're like opposites.
Yeah, opposites.
Yeah, we try to cool her down a little. So
yeah, that's really good that they didn't repeat that pattern. I'm really glad. I can be the nerve wreck on my own, and I don't have to. We're not.
But in a way, I get it, because you're like the one writing all the songs, and you're like the one who gets, you know, crap if something goes really wrong. So
yeah.
It's good that you understand. Yeah.
But I can just, you know, write along and just, you know, sing.
Mm-hmm. It's good. But when we're on stage and we get going and start, then it's just fun and having a good time, and afterwards you kind of long back to that moment when you're right into the music and communicate with the audience, and you know, it's like a lucky a state where you feel really lucky, and you're
sort
really
of like a drug.
Yeah, exactly, because you get a kick from it, and you long to get back, and afterwards it can be hard to get the emptiness that comes over you when you've been on stage, and then
especially when it's like a little bigger things, like when you have all these lights, you know, in your eyes, and you're like blinded by them, and you just I don't know, I just love that feeling, and then afterwards you can feel like you're like, what if I never get this feeling again?
Yeah, exactly. And it's a strange thing with the last gigs that we've had, it's always either snowstorm or storm in the summer. So it's always kind of dramatic when we get back with all the instruments. And
everybody's like tired, and
we
have to carry around these instruments. And sometimes we don't have a car and
go by bus or try to get everything into a taxi or, and then you're finally at home. And last summer we had a gig on an island called Grinda in the archipelago, and it started storming when we get back in a little small boat with all instruments in the boat, and it was really dramatic.
And we took the wrong boat, so we ended up in central Stockholm, and we were just
alone there. And it was heavy rain on us and all the instruments.
It was like a small boat, you know, that goes really fast, like a taxi boat or something. You know, you're like, and we have this this weird
suits on
and the googles, and
it was really
fun. And it was raining like hell, and
and the
guy the guy said, oh, you have to kind of carry with the waves. So when the waves come, you have to kind
of stand up. I felt like I was in a action movie or something.
Yeah, exactly. And then we came to Stockholm and we realized we were on the wrong place, and it was raining. And
it can be really dramatic.
Yeah, and I called for a taxi, and then the taxi came, and we couldn't let everything, all the stuff into the taxi. You couldn't even close.
We like stopped the traffic.
we were in the middle of the traffic, and then we came home, and then when we opened the cases to the instruments, they were all, what is that?
Spongy.
Yeah, from water. Yeah, that was dramatic. So we'll see what happens next.
No more playing in the archipelago.
No, but we have one gig in the archipelago this summer as well, at Blida.
So you didn't ask me.
We have to go with the ferry there too. So, oh, yeah. Yeah, but we have a car that time. So that
hope we won't end up on the wrong boat again.
Mm, exactly.
Probably end up in Finland or something.
Hope it's a nice weather too.
Yeah, we wish for that. Yeah.
That's one of the things that I'm really looking forward to. You mentioned there about possibly ending up in Finland. Here in Australia, we don't have any countries joining us. So if you make the wrong turn, well, you're still in Australia, but because Europe's so connected, you can get to so many different countries quite easily.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You just take the bridge over to Denmark and...
Mm-hmm. And to Helsinki, it's a ferry maybe, what can that be, 10 hours or something like that. So it's not so far from here. You can easily go with a boat from Stockholm to Helsinki if you want to, if you come here.
But don't go there.
They're not brutal people, but they're kind of... Yeah,
they're drinking too much.
Yeah. So we're not racist.
No. we think
just
they're
Finnish people.
No, yeah, it's an old. Every year there's a Finn camp, and it's a contest between Finland and Sweden. And it for generations.
We're like rivals. Yeah,
we have to win over them, and they're kind of barbaric in a way. We're more maybe cultivated.
You know why I mentioned that with them being racist? Because it's a, you know, a...
What's that? The election, yeah.
Yeah, the election, it was like a racist party that made a really big win.
Yeah, they have 19% of the votes. And they showed it on TV. They were like yelling and, oh, Finland, like that. And then we said, oh, what
Well, you
what
get
is this?
Kind of embarrassed but about that, so...
Yeah, but they're... Probably most of them are nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
We just don't know them.
Maybe it might be easier for me because I'm Australian, who knows?
Yeah. For sure. Yeah. For sure. They always kind to tourists. And you can buy...
they are?
I think so. Yeah, you can buy...
you should just stay in Sweden.
Glass, beautiful glasses. And they're really good at making glass. Yeah, when you come to Finland, you can buy that with you to Australia.
And Santa Claus lives there.
Yeah, they say that.
So do you only perform in English or do you perform in Swedish as well?
It's both.
Both.
More Swedish.
Yeah.
Mostly English, right?
Mostly English, but in some of the songs we have a mix. So the verses are in Swedish and then the chorus comes in English and sometimes it's a little talking in Swedish and then we're singing in English. So it's a mix of it because I think it's a problem for Swedish artists that sing a lot in English, but the English lyrics aren't so good and they are just doing it for a Swedish audience. And when they try to do it for other people that are really English speaking, it's not so good. So then I think it's better to write in Swedish, which is...
It's like some people trying to pretend they're like American or...
Yeah.
You know, I like singing also, singing in Swedish and singing in English like a lot, but you should do it in a way that is, you know, from the heart.
Yeah.
Is Swedish a hard language to learn for someone who's never done it?
I think so, yes.
I don't know. I've heard that, maybe.
Yeah.
It's a lot of really weird rules about the grammar and stuff.
Yeah,
and
but there's... it's funny that you can take almost any word and combine them and make a new word. So, but that's not the case in English, where you always separate the words.
It's not as many words as in English.
No, it's more like a toolbox. You can explain things by making new words. But in English, there's a word for everything. but here you combine words more. Well, I don't know if how this works.
I think it's easier to learn than Finnish anyway.
We haven't tried learning but Finnish. But the words are a bit
completely different
weird.
Thing.
Yeah. We our languages aren't related at all. We're related to Norwegian and Danish. And
why are we talking
German
about
English?
And the Swedish. But the hardest part of Swedish is the spelling, because we have a lot of old rules concerning how to spell the words.
Yeah, they don't spell the way you.
Oh, you pronounce them. No,
yeah.
But talking is not so hard. I mean, a lot of words are related to English. And
yeah, it's the same family of language. I think. Yeah, it's the. I don't know how you say it, but German language, German, English,
like
and...
language family group.
But Finnish is it's connected with...
Hungarian.
Yeah, and maybe Russian, or...
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
Mm.
So for an English speaking person, I think Swedish is relatively easy to learn.
Yeah. Do you want lessons?
Oh.
Actually, I'm educated as a Swedish teacher teaching in Swedish, so...
If you want to talk to me in Swedish, I'll listen.
Good.
Because
hey, hur mår du?
That's how are you? And you can say jag mår fint in Swedish. That is I'm fine in English. So fint and fine are related. Just a little difference in the pronunciation.
Sounds
so
like...
for example, the word word for the word in English for window, that's really old, from the Vikings, that had a hole in the top of the house, where vindöga means window, wind eye, so an eye to the heavens, through the air.
Well, she's a Swedish teacher, so
as you see.
Sounds like I'm going to have a lot of fun. What should I come and see apart from you guys at a performance
in Stockholm?
Yeah, what should I say?
Lots of things to see. We will show you if you come. This is the old ship Vasa that they found on the bottom of the sea.
I love it.
Yeah, actually, from today, it's 50 years ago when they found it, and no, not found it, but they took it up.
Took it up from the water because it was so the engineers who built it were so stupid, so. It just sunk when they
were
set
like
the sick in
20 meters out in the water.
Yeah, and that is over 300 years ago. And they had loaded it with a lot of, what is that?
Well, he doesn't know
gold.
What we're talking about right now.
Cannoner.
Cannons and gunpowder.
Yeah, and so it was
it's
kind
like
of
a big ship.
Yeah,
a
warship.
It's just a big ship.
And now it's
300 years
you can
old.
You can walk up into to it and see it nearby. It's really...
cool.
Amazing. So the royal ship Vasa, you should see.
What else?
I don't know. Old
you
buildings.
Should, I think you should stay away from the royal castle. And stuff. It's I've never been there, but it's boring. You should see like the old part of town.
Yeah. And Söder,
Söder. Southern Stockholm. It's really cozy.
It's a part of the town where all the cool pop stars live, and there are a lot of old houses. No, we don't. But we are south of Söder, southern Söder, and it's very old houses, small houses that poor people lived in, and they are bevarade. They are
preserved.
So you can see them. Yeah, it's really great. But Stockholm is a beautiful town. You should just see it
just
take
be
a boat
there and look for the small stores where you can buy secondhand stuff
and Swedish handcraft as well. Small dalahästar, small horses made in wood that are counted, that are painted on, and they are typical Swedish. And you can see them everywhere because they want to sell it to the tourists. So, typical dalahäst.
What sort of live music? What's the live music scene like over there?
It's good.
Very mixed, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know, they are pretty large venues in Stockholm.
I think it's right now it's coming a lot of electronic bands that it's like it's really underground, but mm-hmm. at the same time it's really pop and it's cool.
Mm-hmm. But there's result styles, I guess. Some punk and metal.
Metal, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. You can see some punk too if you know where to look for it.
Yeah.
No, it all sounds very, very interesting. So tell us, where's the good place to find you on the internet so we can keep up to date with what's going on with the band? How's the best way to find you?
On Facebook.
Yeah.
We have a page. We're called Wilderheart.
Former Dan Lion.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. And SoundCloud also.
SoundCloud, exactly. We shut down the MySpace page because it was complicated to change the name, and we had to build a new page.
Kind of died.
Yeah, MySpace is dying anyway.
We choose SoundCloud instead. So
there you can listen to the songs.
Yeah, you can listen for free.
You can search for it, Wilderheart.
Yeah,
SoundCloud. And there is pretty much all the songs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, but there are three songs that will be on the album, The Core and two other songs that we will not release until then. So.
The Facebook page, it's pretty much where you should go if you, want to keep up with the news and contact us and
get
stuff.
Friends with us. That's really good. Yeah.
So when do you expect the album to come out?
Late August, we hope for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's excellent. My birthday's in late August.
Okay. Good.
I'll remember that now.
Yeah.
So thank you everyone for being here. It's been a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to coming over and having you show me around Stockholm in a few months' time.
Great. Yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having us here. It was really nice.
Yep.
No worries. So
you're listening to a feed of the Association of Music Podcasting at musicpodcasting.org.
Don't have plans to go to Berlin?
Yeah, that Germany's one of the Germany's on there. I want to go to Berlin.
They say that Berlin is Europe's New York, Europe's New York City, and it's for a person who is interested in art and culture, music and writing books and everything. It's really interesting. It's really vital. To say vital, vital.
Vital.
The atmosphere and the scene, and there's people everywhere performing, and it's really cool, interesting with the mix since 20 years ago. I mean, from the Eastern and Western Berlin going together, and it's like good things coming out from there.
The whole thing's going to be interesting because, as I was saying before, we're our own country and we don't border any other country. And so the fact that you can go for drive... Here in Australia, I can drive for 8 hours and I can still be within my state.
Yeah.
And I haven't even left my home state.
Okay, yeah.
And
isn't it a big part of it that is only deserts?
Yeah. That's more towards the centre. I'm on the east coast in Sydney.
Yeah.
So, like where the Olympics was in 2000. So, I'm about an hour's drive out of Sydney at the bottom of the Blue Mountains. I'm not sure if you've heard of the Blue Mountains in Sydney.
No, we haven't.
But
we ever heard about all these animals that we would love to see, kangaroos and what's that, the bears, the like teddy bears, the koala bears.
Yeah.
Yeah, Madinga, it'd be really cool.
Is a dingo, is it common there? A dingo.
In the outback, it is, not so much around here. I've got a bush area about 5 minutes drive away from me, and they have kangaroos there.
Cool.
Well, how do you like New Zealand? Have you been there?
I haven't. Actually, it's really pretty over there. I've got friends over there, and I want to go over there. But I could probably do only one big overseas trip every couple of years. So, you know, I've been saving and, you know, got all my money ready and all that sort of thing. So I'm really looking forward to, you know, getting together with people, because there's not a lot of music podcasters over here.
Yeah.
Whereas in England, there's a whole heap of podcasters that I know from talking to them. So to be actually able just to go to a pub and have some drinks with them and
For sure.
That sort of stuff, it's going to be really good.
Yeah, we love London. It's really, really nice.
I've only been there once.
No. I've been there 3 times.
Yeah, we were there for like for a couple of days, really, and I just, you know, you feel a bit at home there. Yeah. It's pretty similar, you know. I don't know. It's
to Söder, Stockholm. Yeah, the same vibe, yeah.
I can ask you, what do you think about the New Zealand accent? Is it very different from yours? Because to me, it sounds pretty much the same.
It is very similar for people who don't understand it and who don't get to listen to it.
Yeah.
Also, in Australia, we have different sort of accents and different ways of speaking if we're in different parts of the country.
Yeah, of course.
Like, for instance, in Queensland, they tend to speak a bit slower.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
But
well, it was funny because I was thinking about this TV series Flight of the Conchords, if you have seen it.
Yeah.
I don't know. And the manager is talking New Zealand, so it's so funny because it's so stupid. And I was just thinking of that.
It's funny, when I was in the United States, a lot of people had trouble with my accent, and over there in McDonald's, you just don't go to McDonald's and order a Big Mac. You order everything by numbers. I don't know if they do that.
Okay.
I don't know if they do that over there, but in the US, you go through the drive-thru, and if you want a Big Mac meal, you just say, oh, a number one or whatever, but it's not the same number everywhere you go. So it might be a number one in one place, and then it might be a number 15, you know, down the road a bit. And so if you only have the one thing, you can't remember that one number. And in the end, I had to put on a pretend American accent like this so they could understand me. Because all the time, they'd be going, what? What'd you say?
Were you just saying the numbers then? Or because they would understand if you said the numbers.
Even the numbers, they had problems.
Oh, okay.
Like, they didn't understand.
You wouldn't have a problem here in Stockholm. We'll understand you. Actually, I was a bit nervous about that because I didn't know how the accent would sound like. But it has been really, really easy to understand you. And we've been on a Skype interview, I think it's half a year ago or something.
Yeah, in America.
With some guys in the U.S., in Salina.
Yep.
And they were yelling all the time and laughing and kidding, and we tried to answer the questions properly and everything, of course, but they had a DJ in the studio as well, and some every now and then he interrupted and saying some jokes, and they started laughing, and we were like, okay, that was really a tough start for doing a Skype interview. This was our second one, and it was really good. So thank you.
That's all right. It's the Skype, apart from the time that we dropped out, has actually been very good. Even though you're showing me video, I usually don't worry about it, but it's been fine.
Yeah, great.
Well, can't you take it away if you don't want it with video?
Sorry?
Can you remove the video if you want to?
I can. When you send me the message, it says, do you want to accept or decline the video? And okay. So I can just say, no, don't worry about the don't worry about the video. So, but it worked fine anyway, so that's all good.
Exactly. I have a tip for you when if you come to Stockholm, when you come to Stockholm, which we hope, there is a hostel that is on a boat, on an old ship. Off Chapman, and it's really beautiful old ship where they have done rooms in the bottom, so you can stay there as on a hostel, and maybe you can book that in advance when you know when to come, because I think it's really maybe full booked in the summertime, so you can check it out. I can send you an email about it, so you can check it out. So it's you can see everything from the water. In Stockholm, we have a lot of water and small bridges, and you can sit beside the water, and you can even go fishing in the inner part of the town. So that would be a really nice place to stay on.
Yeah, great.
Good luck with all the preparings of the booking of the tickets and everything for your trip.
Yeah. So where do most people come from when they come to Stockholm? Where do they mainly come from? Do they mainly come from London or?
No, we have a lot of Germans coming. German people love Sweden. They're totally crazy about everything in Sweden. We have these signs on the roads that warnings for moose going around, so that you have to drive carefully because there are moose in the forest. And these signs with the moose on, the German people, they take them away and take them with them in their cars as souvenirs. It's really weird.
It's coming people from, a lot from France, I've seen.
Yeah, and Italy.
And Japan, of course.
Japanese people, yes, and Russians and people from
Eastern Europe.
Eastern Europe, yeah.
Or Eastern Europe, it's not former.
Eastern Europe.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Excellent, sounds good. Well, I hope you enjoyed that interview with Vilde Hart. Thank you to Karen, also thank you to Maya, and thank you to Frederick for giving us some time and also telling us a little bit about their hometown and their home country of Sweden. Definitely looking forward to heading over there. As always, I like to feature a couple of songs by the band, so you not only heard them, but you can also hear them in song. And so I have a couple of songs for you to finish up this interview episode of IRC FM. First of all, we'll have Coming Up, and that will be followed by Someone Tell Me. Hope you enjoyed the interview. Don't forget to come back on Friday. Lots of great music on the Couch by Couch West special. And don't forget to stay subscribed to IRC FM, so as soon as an interview comes out, it will come down the pipe and into your ears on Tuesday, and lots of great independent and unsigned music down the pipes and into your ears each and every Friday. Until next time, I'm Irk, and on behalf of Vilde Hart, formerly Dandelion, thank you very much for listening, and good night, Interweb.
Coming up, reach for the surface, reaching for light. You're coming up, reach for the surface, reaching for light. You've seen the bottom to close, you all want. Breaking your knees. det simmer upp nu mot ytan, det simmar mot ljuset. Nu vet du vart den ser ut.
Someone tell me.